Welcome one and all once again to Duel Wielding episode 74. We have a fun-filled episode this week with a lot of impressions, but before we get started, let's introduce our panel of gamers. We have Martin.
Hi.
We have Daniel.
Most importantly, me, yeah?
Humble, too, apparently. I need to get a podcast crew for people who are free of humility. That would be nice. And speaking of egomaniacs, we have Chad this week.
You guys are going to love my Christopher Walken.
Who is half dead at 4:30 in the afternoon because it is it's Canada Day weekend, or as Canadians call it, an excuse to drink again. But that's neither here nor there.
So you mean it's a day that ends in Y?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they started it since, what, I think Friday or Thursday for some people. it was trending worldwide on Twitter yesterday, so that's how eager they are to get wasted.
That's when I started.
And he hasn't been asleep since, so, well, I think he took a power nap that we accidentally woke him up from.
Bastards.
It happens. It's not our fault you stream your StarCraft to your TV and you happen to have Skype sound effects enabled. But yeah, we have a ton of stuff to talk about this week, and just because I'm selfish and I can do this, I'm going to kick us off this week because I actually got to go hands-on with the Wii U this past Friday at a Wii U experience in New York City. And it was a nice little setup. It was in a hotel, nothing fancy, smancy. And they had most of the games that were on this day at E3, at least the big ones. They had Nintendo in, Just Dance, Sing, Batman Arkham City, Ninja Gaiden, Razor's Edge, Nintendo N, Pikmin 3, Project P100, Game & Wario, Zombie U, and Rayman.
Oh, you forgot Nintendo Land.
Rayman Legend and Mario Brothers U. The event was about, everybody gets like a 2-hour chunk to check out the games and stuff, and it really works out to about 90 minutes between getting in there. As I found out, apparently, they give you a little fancy badge, which is connected to your Facebook account. So, yeah, it posts pictures instantly, and I found that out when I got back home. But, it was fun. I got to check out, because of the lines, I got to check out Just Dance 4, Nintendo Land, New Super Mario Bros. U, Rayman Legends, and I think that's it. I could be mistaken. But, I checked out Just Dance 4. I've said before, I'm actually a fan of the game on this podcast. It's the perfect get drunk and hang out with friends game. And this doesn't really seem to reinvent the wheel in that regard.
I don't think anybody expected that from the fourth, you know.
No. They do have a Wii U specific mode, which is you have four people dancing, and then you have a fifth person who uses the Wii U controller as a kind of a choreographer, so they get to pick the dance moves you perform and stuff like that. So again, it's not something new or, you know, imaginative, but it adds something to it. And I don't know why you would need it or how it's even possible, because I think it would be extremely tiny. But if you want, you can also play the game off of the Wii U tablet and just set it up on a stand and do the dancing from that thing. In case somebody wants to watch TV and four other people want to dance in the living room. Because no way would that be distracting. That was Just Dance. I checked out, let's see, Rayman Legends, which was cool. I mean, it's Rayman Origins if you played that. I checked out both using the classic, what is it called? The Classic Controller Pro, or I don't know, the Xbox 360 controller they have. It wasn't so bad. It's not through analog. I mean, it is, but like, the game doesn't use it, so I don't know how different would it feel for a first-person shooter when you'd have to use both through analog and the face buttons, which are lower down.
How does
it
feel compared to a 360 controller?
It felt fine. I didn't have any issues with it. I will say this, and I will say this in general for any video game event, I really hate the notion of playing video games standing up.
Is it flimsier than a 360 controller, or does it feel as solid?
It felt solid. I didn't really have any problems with it, but like I said, I don't think Rayman was the best game to sample it on. Yeah. I mean, Rayman really uses like three buttons. It uses one of the triggers or the bumpers, I guess, on the Xbox controller. It uses two face buttons, and that's pretty much it for the extent of control. So, I mean, it's not really taxing on your gaming abilities or knowing where the buttons are and stuff like that. But it felt solid. It felt nice. I mean, I guess on the other hand, I should mention how the Wii U gamerpad felt. I'm sure everybody's heard this in impressions, but the thing is extremely light. I expected it to kind of be... It feels hollow, I guess. Like, it doesn't really feel like it has much weight to it, which is nice. It's extremely comfortable. It has, like, 50 different grips for you, apparently. It has the little, grip on the base, and then it has, like, the little shelf with the triggers. The touchscreen felt nice and responsive. Again, I'll use it in Rayman and Nintendo Land for that Takamaru's Ninja Castle. For Rayman, it was mostly used to just touch stuff on the screen. So
again, is the screen resistive? Do you know?
I assume it is since everybody's up on it, but I honestly couldn't tell you.
I hope not. I hope it's not resistive.
It is resistive.
Oh, Nintendo, what?
Like I said, I still don't get the big deal with it, but
well, if it's capacitive, then it just feels better to use with your hands, and not only that, it's better at multi-touch. But
well, it just doesn't have multi-touch.
Well, there you go. There you go.
And I understand why people are upset with it, but I have yet to hear anybody come up with an implication game-wise as to why you need multi-touch. But I'm sure that somebody will come up with one here just to prove me wrong. But yeah, the touch screen itself was really responsive. But like I said, I used it in Takamaru's Ninja Castle, which just has you flicking the finger across the screen to throw ninja stars, and Rayman, which just basically has you tapping on various things on the screen and then using the built-in sensor to control certain objects in the game. It was kind of interesting trying to navigate with a random person as we were kind of off our base, and I'm really never that great at tilting anything with any type of finesse, where it's pretty much all or nothing with me, so that was a fun experience dying like 50 times in a row. New Super Mario Bros. U is New Super Mario Bros. If you fit it on the DS or if you fit it on the Wii. I'm a fan of the games. I think they're great platformers and everything, but honestly, if you aren't a fan of the franchise, this isn't going to change your mind. If you are a fan of the franchise, this is pretty much more of the same, which is still great. It looks nice and everything, but like I said, it's really not going to change anybody's opinion on the franchise at this point. We got to check out two levels of that, and they, like I said, it looks nice. It's platforming. It's weird how some of the hiccups from New Super Mario Bros. Wii annoys you when you're playing with randoms, like the pause you get when people die and stuff like that, and people not helping you out of a bubble, or when everybody decides that they need the magic mushroom and the squirrel suit at the same time.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And then I checked out Nintendo Land, and I got to check out Takamaru's Ninja Castle, Donkey Kong, I don't even know the name of it, the Animal Crossing Sweet Day, and Luigi's Ghost Mansion game.
After playing it, would you be surprised if they made it a pack-in?
I think I would need to know. I need to know more information on it. I think it's. I honestly had the most fun with those games, but at this point, they feel like extended Mario Party games, which is fine. But Mario Party also includes like 50 other games.
Yeah.
The thing would be, honestly, is the content level per game, because like Luigi's Ghost Mansion, I think is fun, but if it's just that one stage over and over again, it gets old fast. So I think they need like. Each game, I think, would need like 4 or 5 stages to really make it worth an investment. If they keep it the same way, I think it would have to be a pack-in game. Takamaru's Ninja Castle. I didn't really get to try it out much because the system froze up on me twice playing it. they were quick to point out that it wasn't actually the hardware running it. It's like running somewhere else. They just have the hardware for display, but it locked up on me twice. It just would stop noticing anything going on. Donkey Kong was a ton of fun. That's pretty much all control with the tilt in the game controller, and it's kind of like an obstacle course of some sort where you control in a pseudo kart, I guess, down various tracks and loops and stuff like that. And it's all about momentum and not going too fast, not going too slow, and getting a bunch of bananas along the way. And then the next two games I had the most fun with is Luigi's Ghost Mansion and Animal Crossing. Luigi's Mansion was the one they spent 15 minutes on at E3 for God knows what reason. And I honestly think this game, I think Nintendo Land in general would have benefited from them not trying to expand it and just showing it off. But it's basically, it's kind of like Pac-Man Versus, I guess, but, you know, it's four players trying to track down being hunted by one ghost, and the ghost has the entire Ada map. The human players can't see the ghost, but you can tell when he's nearby because your controller starts to vibrate. And the whole point is that the four players are supposed to cooperate and stuff like that. So you have people shouting like, oh, the ghost is near purple, the ghost is near green or whatever. And you're all supposed to kind of get close to the ghost and try to hunt him down and stuff like that. As the ghost, you have, you know, as the ghost, you can see the entire screen. You also have the option to run, but that makes you visible on the screen for an extent, for a brief period of time. I got to play as to both the ghosts and the Miis, and it's a ton of fun just having people to coordinate with and, you know, like messing with people's heads. As a Mii character, when somebody's downed, you can actually revive them with your flashlight, but it leaves you vulnerable, of course, because you're standing still for about 10, 15 seconds. So usually the best thing to do is have the other human characters around you. I got screwed up once because somebody was reviving me and somebody said, ooh, shiny, and she just decided to walk off and got busted by the ghost. If you're the final human around, you can get like a super vacuum attachment, and this allows you to revive everybody faster. But I actually didn't get to see them practice. I was just told about it when somebody got it, and then they grabbed by the ghost right away. And Animal Crossing is kind of the same concept, where the four human players have a goal. They have to collect 50 pieces of candy, and it's, you don't have to drop it off, you just have to collect it. But the more candy each person collects, the slower they get. The person with the Wii U controller has to, this is kind of cool, right? The person with the Wii U controller controls two different guards, and you control one with the left analog stick, one with the right analog stick. And, you know, the further you go, the screen expands to show you more of this stage so that you can actually keep focus on both of the characters at once. And the best strategy I found with that is to just kind of have them go up like parallel paths or whatever so that you can box somebody in. And that was kind of cool. It's like I said, it was a ton of fun. It's really hard to explain, but I think if they can showcase why these games are enjoyable, they have a hit on their hands. If they spend 20 minutes like they did on E3, I really think it's just going to bore people. So I think that's it for what I've done with the Wii U. Any questions or thoughts?
It sounds like Nintendo Land isn't going to be a very good game if you're playing on your own, because it's very and four other people.
That was the other thing I took away from this event. Again, it was partially because of the environment of the event. But a lot of these games weren't like single player focused, and it's one of the reasons I didn't get to try Project P100 and Zombie U. It's because like with Project P100, the demo is like 10 to 15 minutes long, and it's only one person going at a time. And Zombie U is about the same thing. So a lot of these were kind of, but yeah, Nintendo Land doesn't seem like the type of game. Like Donkey Kong single player and Takamura's Ninja Castle single player. But I wouldn't say that either one of them are worth investing $50 or $60 for a game.
Yeah.
And I'm also kind of curious to see not only that them with single player, but also if it's like less than five people. Because Luigi's Ghost Mansion would seem like it would be a whole different game if it's just two people.
Probably, yeah.
So yeah, I'm kind of curious to see what they do as far as single player, and that's an ideal setup to go.
Other than that, I don't really have any.
Yeah, I write up more formal thoughts on the site at some point, but it was nice. It was a nice event, too. They gave you soda pop, just so I don't offend people who call it pop for whatever reason.
You mean normal people.
There's no quiet pop. So yeah, I guess while I'm talking, I also checked out Rhythm Thief and the Emperor's Gold or whatever on the 3DS, another rhythm game, which is a ton of fun actually. They have three mini games in that, and it's one is your general like follow the directions. The other one was kind of a posing thing where you had to take four options and you had to time it right so that he can sneak past guards by posing behind statues. And the last one was a rhythm-based boss battle where you tap either A or the D-pad to fight left and right. And that was kind of cool. I'm kind of interested in picking it up, but being that it didn't do so well in Japan and didn't do so well in Europe, it might as well get it on discount. So yeah, what has everybody else been saying?
I've been playing Phoenix Wright 3 because it's the best one in the series, and it reminded me how much I love the series and how much I absolutely hate Capcom. Where is my fucking localization of Ace Attorney Investigations 2? Where is it?
Oddly enough, most people tend to hate Capcom because of what they do when they bring their games over.
Yeah, and now they're not even bothering to do that, and I don't like it. I think they cited, like, poor sales for, like, the first one for the reason, and it's just like, well, you didn't really do a great job bringing that out in the West, so if you don't, you know, I think, because it's not the first time Capcom have done that, with a... With Phoenix Wright 3, they didn't release the game in Europe until about 2.5 years after it came out, and then they complained when nobody bought it. Well, if you release the fourth one before the third one, you're not going to get people to buy the third one, really, are you?
It's hard to say when it sells, because this is the same company that announced the sequel to Dragon Dogma, even though that game hasn't really lit the world on fire outside of Japan.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, give me my Ace Attorney Investigations 2, Capcom.
Have you been playing anything else?
No, I haven't. I'm waiting for the Steam sale, which is supposed to happen on Thursday, and it hasn't. So I'm up in arms as to when that's going to happen. And, I need something to play. Valve, come on.
Was it supposed to happen, or is it everybody just assuming that Valve tends to have their Steam sales at the end of June?
It was the latter. And obviously, it's not happening this year, for whatever reason.
The game has the 4th of July.
Maybe. But we don't know. All of Gabe has said about it was it will start between now and the time when it starts, which is pretty obvious. So.
God damn it, Gabe.
That company had the greatest sense of humor, I have to say. So
I want to give you money, Valve. Stop hindering my giving you my money.
But maybe they listen to EA, because I heard that having massive sales devalues IP brand. And then EA went ahead and gave away free games like the week after. So.
Yeah.
What about you, Mr. Fleming? What have you been playing?
Right now I'm playing Diablo 3.
Or you're starting Diablo 3?
I'm clicking on a whole bunch of stuff and it's dying pretty good, so I guess I'm good at this game.
I'm fairly sure you're probably like in the early tutorial parts of the game.
No, I'm pretty sure it's like this the whole way through. Games don't change as you play them. They
except
stay the same.
Except if you're what is that jetpack game? Brutal Legends. There we go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, poor Brutal Legends. Don't even put that in my memory.
I still have my copy of Brutal Legends.
I haven't been playing anything. I haven't been playing anything at all, like StarCraft. That's it, and a bunch of visual novels. But no one wants to talk about those.
Why are you playing visual novels?
Because they're awesome.
I kind of want to hear about this now. What have you been playing?
No, you really don't.
Well, I asked.
It's basically a mildly interactive book, more or less.
Yeah, I'm playing Heavy Rain. I know what you mean. But,
less interactive than Heavy Rain. And,
yeah.
That's pushing it.
And it's like, more niche than Heavy Rain. And it. And it's more fan service than Heavy Rain.
And there's a lot more text than Heavy Rain.
So, I mean, which one are you playing? How did you get into these?
Because I'm into just all of that shit. So that kind of just comes with it. I go on A all the time, and they play them, and I was like, that looks fun. So then I downloaded a couple in the iPhone. So yeah.
Okay.
/ not really fun, but interesting. Because, I mean, it's reading, so I don't think you call reading fun necessarily. Fuck it, I'm a giant nerd. Reading is fun. Deal with it.
I think if people want to try out a visual novel, they should seek out Katawa Chojo.
If you want to get into visual novels, play Phoenix Wright first, because it basically is a visual novel for the most part.
Yeah, but the one I mentioned is free.
Yeah, but it's also not that good.
Ouch.
I think it's good.
Sounds like fighting
work. So. Not really. I'm not trying to fight him. I'm just trying to say his taste is shit, that's all. Boom. Kidding.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am, actually. The only people whose taste I legitimately criticize is yours, because you've proven time and again that it's actually terrible.
I'm fine with that. You don't have to like my taste. There's only one person who does, and that's me. And what have you been playing, Martin, while your taste is being questioned?
A couple of things. Today I discovered that Reddit can be good for some stuff, because
hang on.
Now those are fighting words.
Because it got me into the Dota 2 beta. Can we still call it a beta if they're actually already taking money for it?
Well, Valve have already said that the game's pretty much where they want it to be, just they don't have the server space for everybody yet. You should have asked me. I've got a Dota 2 key. If somebody wants a Dota 2 key, I've got one. Just ask.
Yeah.
I was about to say, didn't Daniel end up spending money on the Super Monday Night Combat 2, Super Monday Night Combat beta as well?
Yeah, I did.
So, if you can spend money on betas.
Anyway,
well,
Dota 2. Anyway, Dota 2 seems to be pretty great. It's Dota, it looks pretty nice, it's fun. I mostly played League of Legends, so I'm kind of in the learning period of figuring out which heroes fit my playstyle. So yeah.
Which one do you prefer?
What?
Which one do you prefer?
I'm mostly ranged
League of Legends Dota 2.
Oh god, I forgot the name of the guy. It was magician, which kind of looks like a black mage from Final Fantasy. I forgot the name.
Oh, Vhagar.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you prefer League or Dota?
At this point, I think I would say Dota seems to be the better game. Not because of the gameplay, but the business model seems even better, in my opinion. League of Legends still has some questionable stuff where you can, if I remember correctly, you could buy these boosters and you could also get these runes for real money, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you can't get the runes for real money, but you can pay to get the money you buy runes with quicker.
Yeah, that way then. And in Dota 2, everything is basically
obviously
just aesthetics. You can buy some items for the characters you play.
The problem I have when it comes to games like this is I prefer the gameplay of League of Legends, but the fact that Riot Games want money for League of Legends to me is just hilarious, because the service is awful. The game is a technical mess, and I can't believe that anybody in their right mind would pay anything for that game. Whereas Dota 2 is a much better game by far, because Valve have actually put a ton of effort into it, but I don't like the gameplay.
The gameplay is fine to me, and I actually really like when I got into the main menu, I really liked how I got the news feed and I can directly go into watching games and stuff like that. All of that stuff is pretty well done. For an esports title, I think it's pretty much perfect, seems like. The other thing I played is Lego Batman 2. And the whole big shebang about it was that it has an open world. And it kind of does. it is open world, but the open world doesn't really have missions or anything in it. It basically is just a very big hub world, which already existed in previous LEGO games. All you can do there is seek out a couple of bosses you can beat, so you can get the minifigs and collect a bunch of stuff, like golden bricks and red bricks. That's about it. Oh. It's kind of fun if you're into collecting shit, but I'm not that much into that part. The levels themselves are still pretty much standard LEGO fare, I guess. I felt right at home, and I have to say the last LEGO game I played was the one with the original trilogy of Star Wars films. So it's been a while. but for some reason, it's still a really, really enjoyable experience. Also, the story is just really silly fun, especially if you're into DC. It's really cool with all the kind of characters that show up at different points. That's great fan service. And the voice acting didn't really bother me because the voice acting is actually pretty good in this game, so it ended up being actually a positive point of the game. So
yeah,
if you're into this stuff, I can only recommend it, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you want to ask something?
I was gonna ask about the voice acting because I was curious. It is the first LEGO game it's the first LEGO game with any type of voice acting. It don't fully on voice acting.
Yeah.
But you already mentioned that. The other thing is, I guess since you said the open world is kind of barren, would you recommend going with the handheld version since the open world doesn't seem to add much?
The problem, from what I've heard, the handheld versions don't even get exactly the same normal levels, even those are slightly changed. So I would still recommend the console version, I guess. Also, it's not really barren. There's still some stuff to do, and it's actually kind of fun to drive around in a Lego Batmobile or fly around Gotham as Superman, which basically makes this game the best Superman game ever created.
Poor Superman.
The flying is really fun, Superman in the levels is really fun, and yeah. I actually ended up using him more than Batman. and they have all kinds of really nice touches in this game. Like, when you play Superman, you are invincible. You know, in LEGO games, you have these hearts, Superman's hearts are just silver. Superman can't be beaten. Except if he encounters Kryptonite, and then he's like, ah, Kryptonite, and then you can't do anything with him.
I was going to say, doesn't that make this game even easier than they tend to be?
Yeah, but at some point...
Well, no, because they would strategically place Kryptonite in levels.
Yeah, exactly, and then he does become as useful, and at some point in the storyline, he's so weakened by Kryptonite that you can't really use him. So it works. It still works. Nothing to worry about it there. And they still figure stuff out, so you still have to switch between the characters. Because Superman has his ice breath and the laser from the ice, but he can't grapple onto stuff like Batman, which is sometimes needed to... pull stuff out and stuff like that. That's how they do this. They give each character special abilities, which can only used for specific puzzles.
Okay, I know there. Who else is in the game? Aside from Superman, Batman, and
Green Lantern is in it. The Flash, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, bunch of villains: Joker, Penguin, Riddler,
Catwoman,
Doc Brock. So many. Lex Luthor. A lot. Really a lot. I can't even name all of them. There are like 50 different DC characters.
Oh, that's cool. Because I know like the most of the games have around like 10 or 15 characters.
Yeah. You have like 50 characters. I think you should pre-order to even get 10 more. I don't know if they will sell those at some point, because there were a bunch of cool ones, like a Nightwing in there. And also interesting is the possibility to create your own characters with custom abilities. So you can create a Batman with Superman's powers, basically, and stuff like that, which is also...
that would break the game. You get Batman, yeah, but none of Superman's weaknesses.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. So yeah, really entertaining game. And the last thing I played is Dust 514. I got into the beta today and played it for 2 to 3 hours, something in the ballpark. I don't like it.
That's to the point.
I really don't like it at this point.
That's even more to the point.
I was really excited for this game. I think I've mentioned it before, but I really wanted to get into the beta because I think the concept sounds cool. It tying into the EVE universe is really amazing. And I thought like, well, you can't fuck up a first-person shooter, right?
Well, that's true.
Well, you can. Even the technical issues aside, and this beta still is a lot, I don't think it looks very good. It's just really brown, and lots of uninteresting textures, lots of aliasing. The frame rate doesn't seem to be the best either. And they're using the Unreal Engine, and so much texture pop. It's unbelievable.
Oh,
I don't think
dear.
I've seen this much texture pop in since, like, PS3 Unreal Engine launch games, I think. It's terrible. I really hope they fix it.
When is the game out?
This year, I think soonish.
Well, that tends to be Sony's MO with their betas. Is like,
well, this game's a free to play game anyway, so they can just flick a switch and it's out now. So
yeah. The other thing is lag. Even my best games were pretty laggy, and the shooting just doesn't feel good. There's basically no feedback at all. I don't even think my controller rumbled while I was shooting, now that I think about it. The gameplay is just really not dynamic. When you think about what first-person shooters do these days, how quick your movement is, how you move around, and how you aim at different parts of the body, stuff like that. All that doesn't apply here. It doesn't seem to make a difference where you shoot the guy. You just stand around, shoot at the guy, and watch the bars above his head go down. And that feels so MMO-ish.
Isn't it trying to tie into an MMO, so maybe they wanted to keep that element from it?
It still is for a first-person shooter. I still have to really aim to hit a guy. It's not like I just aim in the general direction. And it just doesn't feel fun at all. The basic gameplay just doesn't feel good, I think.
I'm just going to tell you this much. You're really not selling me on it. I have to. I got into the beta last night, and I have it downloaded on my PS3 right now. And I'm gonna play it after we finish recording. I'm just like, do I want to at this point? So
give it a shot if you maybe think something different about it. But I don't think it feels good. And the other thing is, I think CCP said before, like, yeah, we are doing free-to-play, right? Everything can be achieved without paying anything.
Well, it doesn't mean anything if you've got a crappy game, does it?
Just looking into the store, because the store is already online, you can buy stuff with in-game currency. The real money thing is not yet online, but you can already see what stuff would cost and how it compares to other weapons. And the interesting thing is, the first thing I noticed was looking at the advanced assault rifles. You set out with basic assault rifles. You have like a selection of a standard one, which has like short to medium range and full auto, and then another one would be like just 3 shots burst, but has a longer distance. And then you get into advanced ones who do more damage and are more accurate and stuff, but also have these differences. And I noticed that you can get a full auto one for in-game currency, 1,000 something, or I can buy one for real money, which is better than all the other advanced assault rifles, because it already has prototype parts, which you can only get for the fake money if you are way higher on level.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've played games that do that.
You can achieve the better weapons without paying, but it's pretty clear that people who
pay... You've got to grind to do it.
...pay faster than me.
Yeah, and that's, I think that was an issue somebody brought up before. It's like, then you kind of break in the game where somebody can actually spend money to get better at the game than actually improving through actual trial and error and skill.
Well, this is it. If I play, download and play the game on level 1, I can buy my way to level 40 weapons, and then I can use them against other people.
At level 1, which isn't fair.
You can buy level 40 weapons, because you are still... you still have to deal with level requirements. So that would not work. But you can, of course, buy boosters, which enhance the way you gain experience. You can buy, like, a 7-day booster, get 50% more experience, and stuff like that.
The sad thing is that if it's a good game, it will do well. I mean, we don't have it in our news, but... I think what was it announced that 800,000 people signed up for Battlefield 3 Elite already?
Oh my god.
So.
The thing is, just having played Dota 2 and having seen today two free to play games with basically very different philosophies when it comes to the paying stuff, I don't think that Dust is doing it right, but Valve. Instead, with Dota 2 is doing a pretty good thing there.
Oh, Valve seems to know what they're doing most of the time. Everybody else just wants to make the money without actually trying to put in the work on making it fair for their consumers.
But the thing is, what Valve is doing will make them money. It's not that people don't buy aesthetic stuff.
And this is it. In Dota 2, you can get stuff for free as well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like there is a way to do it where you make money. But you don't necessarily have to... Like, basically, what it sounds like Dust 514 is doing is just kind of catering to people who don't want to bother playing the game right.
Yeah, basically.
I don't know from Dota from exactly, because I haven't played it, and you didn't really mention what you can and can't buy in the store, but I assume it's stuff that helps your experience without necessarily breaking the game for the people you're playing against.
Well, in Dota has a leveling mechanic, like metagame thing, but it basically, every so often when you level up, you get free stuff. So you can either buy the stuff outright, and a lot of it is very cheap, and by very cheap I mean like less than £1 to buy, like less than a dollar. Or you can buy a booster so you get this free stuff faster, you know, or at the moment you can buy a pack. You can buy the stuff in packs, or you can buy your way into the the beta, and you get a bunch of cosmetic items with it as well.
And you have to mention, the stuff you buy is basically just cosmetic stuff.
And well, it's all tradable, so if you don't like something you've just bought, you trade it with somebody who's got something good
that
you want.
Right. So yeah, Valve is doing a pretty good thing there, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not often you can say Valve isn't doing a good thing other than not being able to count to three, so...
Well, I think...
Where is my sale, Valve?
Having a user-friendly free-to-play model is not exactly rocket science, in my opinion. And I have seen other games who are doing right, so...
I think we're in the area where people are trying to see what the consumer will and won't pay for. I mean, like I mentioned before, Battlefield, I mean, that doesn't really add much to the experience other than the fact that you get map packs like a week early and, you know, a bunch of other stuff that just seems to be unfair. And I don't even know what Call of Duty 8 does, but people pay for that as well, so...
You get the map packs, basically, and some website stuff.
Which you could probably do for free.
There's some extra stuff that you don't get.
Okay,
if you are just a free Elite member.
But yeah, and it seems like we're going to find... It's going to be the big thing going into next year, and I imagine next gen as well. Because I think, what it was, Epic came out and said that, you know, free-to-play is the future. Crytek is pursuing the free-to-play model. And I'm sure two or three other big publishers have said that free-to-play is the future, so... Yeah. We shall see. The thing is,
Valve has proven that you can money on selling hats. So, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, but Valve also had a good community and great support before they went free-to-play.
I have no doubt that Dota 2 will do also just fine.
Yeah, I'm sure. Again, it's Valve, and they have a loyal legion of people, so...
The thing does this, I'm still wondering how much of what I'm experiencing is the beta, and how much is what will stay. I guess the basic gameplay won't change much. So, and I don't really even like that part.
Okay.
Here's something that I don't get about Dust51.4. Why is it not on PC?
Because Sony paid for it.
I don't. I know. I highly doubt that.
It totally is the case that Sony is supporting them, and that's why it's only on PS3.
I don't understand. CCP, or whatever the company's name is, they said, you know, Dust51.4 is a great way of getting into the universe without, if you don't like how Eve plays. But, you know, people who have been interested in Eve or been looking at Eve are most of the time PC gamers, and I don't own a PS3. So...
The thing is, they wanted to get other players, basically. They thought that Eve can be too complex, and that's why they wanted to make a first-person shooter in the universe.
Yeah, but there's no reason to sort of not put it on PC, because there are plenty of PC gamers out there that are like, this Eve thing's pretty cool, but...
I mean, I would assume it would be pretty trivial for them to release it on PC. They are using Unreal Engine. I doubt it would be very hard for them. So all I can think of is they have some deal with Sony.
Probably. Yeah, but even then, that's kind of weird because, I mean, granted it is, but Sony Online Entertainment did like DC Universe Online, and that was a PC thing as well.
And
I don't think that's connected to Sony Online Entertainment, though.
No, I'm not saying, but I'm saying that Sony has shown that they're willing to kind of do like the whole PC.
That's true.
PS3, so it's kind of weird because that, I mean, Sony Online Entertainment is a Sony company, this one isn't, so... It was one of those things, because I got into the beta last night, and I'm like, I didn't remember signing up for it or anything, but I'm like, I had no idea what the game was, and then somebody reminded me, and I'm like, this is like the big game, one of the big games they announced at E3, 2011, and it pretty much just kind of vanished for the year since then, so, that's Dust5.1.4. We've had news, not much, but we had news this week, and... I guess the big one is Capcom's having some type of event in Japan this weekend.
Summer Jam.
I guess they're in the Hot 97. but Yeah, they had Summer Jam, and they are revealing some of their big games for this, or next year, I should say. And, of course, the biggest one is Monster Hunter 4, which is coming out spring 2013. Or
In Japan.
It won't come out over here. What's it not come out over here?
It would be funny, maybe Capcom.
I was expecting it not coming out at this point.
Imagine if Capcom released Monster Hunter 4 for the 3DS before they did try 3G or whatever in the West, just to kind of Ace Attorney it.
Yeah.
But being that I think Martin is our resident Monster Hunter expert here, at least he's the person who's been begging for that game to release for the past 6 months. What were your thoughts on Monster Hunter 4?
But I watched the trailer. That's basically all I did at this point. And it looks interesting. The gameplay stuff is cool. It seems a lot more dynamic with climbing on the walls while a huge monster is chasing you and stuff like that. But the thing that really disappointed me today is I think it looks like crap.
I've heard a lot of people say that. That seems to be the gut reaction for a lot of folks. The trailer does look rough, but at the same time, it is a 3DS game, and it's not going to be anywhere close to that.
I have to say, I think at this point that the last PSP game looks better.
That could be the case, but I mean,
it had better texture work. There was some really, really rough stuff in that trailer. And the 3DS kind of is a more powerful platform.
Well, I was going to say that, I mean, based on, like, people have posted screenshot comparisons in the thread on GAF, it looks like the 3DS game looks better overall when they're kind of rest properly. That, and this also has, like, another half a year to go before it's actually out, so that might be polished up. But, yeah, it does look rough, especially certain parts when they're focusing on the ground, like, there's a part where he's digging.
Yeah.
It's just like this
brown mess.
Yeah, and then there's another part where it's like they're trying to show off the really colorful graphics, and then it's like this one part where I don't know if it's like he's like in like a fiery area and stuff, and that just looks like gooey mess.
Yeah, that looks bad. Also, the vines looked really bad. They looked worse than in Zelda Ocarina of Time for 3DS.
The
thing is, at this point, I think I really like Monster Hunter, but I'm also thinking maybe I'm tired of them just basically working with PS2 era assets.
I honestly could understand why I don't blame Capcom though, because I mean, compare that to like Dragon Dogma, which took like the entire company. And really won't be a financial success for them. It makes sense to milk as much as possible out of this engine as they can before they're kind of forced to. And I'm sure it's one of the reasons they decided to stick with the 3DS for this Monster Hunter Tri-G and 4.
Probably, because they can work with old assets and maybe improve some of it, but basically not having the most expensive work to do. If they went with a Vita, they would have a lot of more work ahead of them. But
that, and they'd have actually
what I would have rather seen.
I mean, from a business standpoint, I can understand why you would want to avoid the Vita right now. Granted, Monster Hunter was the reason the Vita turned around in Japan to begin with, but
yeah, that's the thing, though. Monster Hunter isn't really that risky because it's going to sell anyway in Japan.
Well, it's going to sell anyway in Japan, but there is a point where like your return of interest, like 4 million on the PSP and 4 million on the 3DS and the DS is different than 4 million on like the PS3 or the 360 or the Vita or something like that, because you're just looking at a higher cost to kind of get that output that people expect from those systems.
And putting it though on HD consoles, I think, well, maybe not in Japan, but I still think would be the way smarter idea in the West.
I honestly don't see it, but I mean it's a possibility. Again, I'm going to point at Dragon Dogma, which they just released, which is PlayStation.
You have more potential, I think, to sell higher quantities on the home consoles than on portables these days.
Well, if you put it on PS3 in Japan, that thing will fly out the door. They wouldn't. It will not.
Don't they have HD versions in Japan? The Frontier.
On the 360.
No, they have the last PSP game is also available for the PS3. But it's just one of those PSP ports, so.
And was the PSP ported a Wii game or they have that really funky. Well, it's Capcom, so they kind of have like the. It's basically that they have the funny Monster Hunter Super.
It uses some stuff from the Wii title, but it has different areas and I think smaller areas. I didn't play the Wii title. I'm remembering now what changed. They also don't have the underwater fighting in it. So there are some differences. It's not completely the same game.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, the Wii isn't always the best judge of that, but the Wii version didn't light the world on fire in the West. And this was what a huge marketing campaign.
It was the Wii, but...
Again, the Wii can sell software, especially when you have Nintendo behind it, and it does have the best sales of the series in the West, but it's a far cry from any of the handheld versions.
Yeah, and that's why I don't get why they wouldn't at least try for the HD consoles.
Might
have been a better investment than Dragon's Dogma.
It might have been. It might have been. But you see, I was going to say, because neither one of them have cloth in the West, so even if you called it Monster Hunter, it wouldn't really have made a difference in the outside.
At least Monster Hunter has a fan base.
Yeah, but it doesn't have
it. Two titles out on the PSP, the PS2 titles, they all came out.
Yeah, but they didn't sell that well, is what I'm saying.
Well, here they do pretty well. In Germany, they do pretty well. For what they are, so.
Germany's weird like that. So yeah. And they also had more from EX Troopers.
Which I think also looks like crap.
Yeah, but anyway.
If you think about, for the 3DS, it looks fine. If you put the same thing on the PS3, oh my god.
I assume, and a lot of people are saying this, and I can kind of see it being a PS3 3DS game in Japan and just being like a 3DS game in the West.
Yeah, the thing is, the characters look fine on the PS3, but when I look at these barren environments, which are just flat textures on them, that's not going to fly on the PS3.
Yeah. It's again, it looks like Capcom's trying to cheap out. I assume that it was probably originally like a 3DS PS Vita title, and it's like the Vita's already not doing that well. So let's try to get more on the install base of the because the PS3 and the 3DS are the only two systems in Japan at this moment, we can say.
Mm-hmm. Gameplay-wise, I think it looks pretty fun, though.
It looks fun, and I am curious, because the Lost Planet does actually have some type of branding in the West. I'm surprised they didn't use that in some fashion. Or who knows, maybe they will if they come out
in
the...
I think it was rumored that this was the Lost Planet title at some point.
I think it's either a prequel or a spinoff of Lost Planet in some fashion. And I could see them doing like a Lost Planet Trooper series in the West or something.
Yeah, because they have like... similar mechanics with the hookshot and they also have a jetpack, but the hookshot thing and how you move is really similar to Lost Planet.
Yeah, and they can get away with the style if it's on like a 3DS because, you know, like people kind of expect console spin-offs or, you know, different versions on handhelds compared to the consoles. So you can have this drop around the same time as Lost Planet 3 next year and... Let me see.
Yeah, I think for the 3DS, I think it looks pretty good. I think it maybe even looks better than Monster Hunter 4. I think it's more appealing because they use the art style that kind of hides the more ugly stuff. At least
very
on the handheld.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Capcom Summer Jam. If they announce anything else, we'll cover it next week. This is less of important news, but it seems to be making the rounds because it always does. Nintendo announced that they would have a 3DS XL Circle Pad Pro released sometime this year. I don't think they said it was coming out with the system. And
Probably
yeah. And people reactions were not great on either side of the aisle, to be honest with you. So any thoughts on this?
They should have built into the system. I don't care. unless they start making games, like we keep getting games on a regular basis that require it, I don't care. I suppose it's good for the four people that need it to play that one game that supports it, but
That's kind of where I am with it as well. And until the instant Nintendo has a game or any game on the system that requires you to play Analog Circle Pad Pro, it's not a big deal. I've had my 3DS for almost a year now. I don't own a Circle Pad Pro, and I don't plan on getting one ever. I can make do. If you can't really make a great game that doesn't require Analog on a system without Analog controls, don't make that game on that system. It's really that simple. I honestly don't see it as ripping off the fans either, again, because it's not something that's required. I think the bigger ordeal is the fact that they're not including an AC adapter, but I still don't know why they're doing
can
that.
Can I have a little rant on the XL?
Sure.
I don't know how Nintendo can have the audacity to sell a handheld system without a charger. I know it's coming. You in the US, you guys pay less for the system, and you get the fucking charger. And we in Europe, we pay a bunch of money more for the damn thing, and we don't even get a fucking charger for the fucking system, which comes with it.
Hey,
you don't fuck this, what? Nintendo.
What you
do
don't
you
even
expect us to
charger?
Do?
Huh?
Cheap
what,
the charger.
How you charge it?
You buy a charger.
You have to buy a charger separately.
What is the actual fuck?
Their explanation for it, and this is a terrible. I don't care how you try to explain it away. The explanation is that there's like 150 million DSIs and 3DSs in the world, so that you probably already have a charger for the device.
No. I don't have a charger, Nintendo, because I sold the old systems with those fucking chargers. I don't have one.
That was my thinking too. Is like most people would probably sell this if they bought the 3DS.
Not to mention
compatible.
Not to mention, is there anybody on the planet that hates having spare chargers? No, there is not.
Yeah, exactly.
I have two chargers for this one thing. That's so bad. What am I going to do, Nintendo? How can you bother me with this?
I think it's a terrible decision, but at the same time, since we are people who get it over here, I'm happy. So.
Oh, and by the way, it's not only us Europeans. The Japanese people also don't get the charger.
Yeah, but from what I understand, the Japanese are used to that. I was just in the A4 today, and apparently the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo actually didn't come with an AC adapter originally, so
jeez.
I have no idea how you played that system.
Jeez, terrible. And I already know, the charger. What?
It means that Nintendo can pretty much charge whatever they want for the charger, because they know people buy the damn thing, because they can't play it otherwise.
I think it's $20, but...
That's a lot of money for something you just...
€10. €10.
I'm not even gonna, it's a terrible decision. I just find it funny because the U.S. is I guess North America is already faced getting it bundled in. And I think Australia is as well.
How much does it cost them to make a charger? Like, really?
I honestly don't know.
Probably.
Like, that is the ultimate nickel and diamond at that point. Because, it's like getting a cell phone without a charger. What's the point? I was going to use it for 5 minutes and never again.
Well, at that point, any money you save is not worth the goodwill that you give up for fucking people over.
Well,
I'll just buy a standard 3DS. I get a charger with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, just buy the 3DS. And that's my beef with the XL. It's a system that doesn't really have any purpose to exist other than, it's bigger. So we shall see how it does.
Jesus, fuck Nintendo.
Oh, it could have been worse. They could have fractured the user base by including a second analog stick on the XL. That would have pissed off a lot more people, I think. This is really not news. It is news, but it's all you hear from me. On Her Majesty's Secret Service is the second game announced for 007 Legends. The second movie announced for 007 Legends, I should say. It wasn't one of the ones I picked, but it was one of the ones I thought had a high probability of being in here, just because it's the movie with the most memorable ski chase. And
oh, yeah, right.
It seems to be the reason they picked this one, because the screenshots show a ski chase, so there you go. And if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's one of my favorite Bond movies.
Yeah, same. But a lot of people hate it.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think a lot of people just hate Jason B.
He's not even that bad.
He's not that. I think it's that, and it's kind of like the first two, where it's more of a spy movie than an action movie, because he spends a lot of time not doing anything.
Yeah. Well, he's doing things, just spy shit, and
not
beating people or fucking somebody.
Yeah, and he gets married, so there's that.
All right. Man, I'm going to go back and watch that.
Well, I'm going to wait until the Blu-ray set comes out this September.
Oh, of course you're going to buy that.
Yes, of course.
Isn't that like $200?
It's 22 movies. It works out to less than $10 a movie.
That's still $200.
For 22 movies, some of which I already own twice or three times, but that's beside the point. You know what they say, third and fourth time's the charm.
Sure.
But yeah. Pokemon Black and Pokemon White 2 are slated for release in October for North America and Europe. And it ended up selling, 1.6 million units in 2 days.
Crazy.
In Japan. It actually became the best-selling game in Japan this year in 2 days.
That's crazy, man.
And it is the second best opening for a Pokemon game ever after Black and White, I believe, and I think easily the best opening for the third entry, but it also is two versions of the game instead of like the single version they tend to have. So yeah, there's that.
If it's not £35, I paid £35 for Black when it came out. I'm not paying £35 for Black 2.
Are you not getting White 2?
I don't know, actually, I might get White 2.
I figured if I have Black, I might as well get White 2.
Yeah, I might get White 2, but I'm not paying £35 for it. I'm not paying the same amount I would pay for a console game, for a DS game.
Well, I'm going to say the same thing I say with every Pokemon game, is I have no interest in getting it because I haven't beaten the last one. Anyhow, it's a very vicious cycle, and I get excited for like the first 30 hours, and I never touch it again. So,
I have not played a Pokemon game, I think, since the second DS.
What do you mean the second?
Is that Gold and
Soul? No, wait. The first DS Pokemon. That's the one I played.
Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not too long ago. It's fine.
Black and White's an interesting place to start off on, but again, if Pokemon hasn't really evolved, it doesn't really need to.
Mostly under the hood stuff that I appreciate that nobody else gives a fuck about.
I never really know what they can add to Pokemon to make Pokemon better, aside from everybody saying make it a console MMO.
You know what they can do?
They can make it Monster Hunter?
No, they can do a crossover of Nobunaga's Ambition.
I actually hear good things about Pokemon Conquest.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited for this game.
Is it not?
But I can't import it.
Because
of this shitty game, and now Nintendo has a region lock on handhelds. Fuck you, Nintendo!
No, hang on, it's a standard DS game, so it would be region
free. No, it has these eye enhancements. And that's why it's region locked. Only if you have a normal
that's
DS, not the DSi. Then you can play it.
I've got a normal DS over DS Lite, so...
Fuck you, Nintendo.
When
just wait until it comes out in the UK, and then just import it from us.
I was going to say, when is it out?
I think it's out in Australia, but not for us.
It's out soon in the UK, I know that.
Then that's fine. Then I play it.
It comes out next month, July 27th.
At least.
So you just have to wait a month.
Still fuck Nintendo.
I'm sure you hate them. They... They do make some questionable decisions. Well, most of the decisions are questionable. But it does work for them. So there's that. Yeah. What else do we have in news this week? Oh, Far Cry 3 to 8 until November for you folks and December 3rd, I think, for us.
Rip Far Cry. Nobody's going to care.
That's some really smart decision making from Ubisoft there. Worked really well for Rayman last year.
Well, Rayman came out the same time as Assassin's Creed.
They shot
and like 50 other games. So this one I think is just stupid because it doesn't have a Far Cry 8 minute. This is the third game. It's not even the third game. There's spin-offs as well. But Far Cry doesn't really have a huge brand. And December doesn't really tend to be a month you release games that sell remarkably well. There are, I can think of four exceptions to the rules and they all had huge brands behind them. Epic Mickey, Smash Brothers, Mario Kart 7, and Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah.
And Star Wars, Mickey Mouse, Nintendo brands, and Mario are four brands that can pretty much release whenever the hell they want and do well.
Not to mention, it. I think it's after Black Friday for you guys.
Yeah, it's after Black Friday.
After Halo 4 and Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Nobody
two of the most anticipated first-person shooters this year. Who is still going to buy Far Cry 3?
Yeah, Jason's not here this week, but he made a point on Twitter that it's not the same audience, but... It's not necessarily... Even if it wasn't the same audience, it's the fact that at that point you kind of had your first-person fill for the year. You have Medal of Honor Warfighter.
Borderlands 2.
You have Borderlands 2. You have Halo 4. So you have your shooter filled in that little niche. It had the perfect release date. It was the start of September. We've mentioned this on the show for the past two or three weeks. The summer is pretty much barren of new releases.
And the thing is Rayman Origins worked because it was a very low budget title. And
yeah,
there was something.
Far Cry 3 obviously isn't.
No.
And the thing is, you also to Jason's comment, you also have to say that. People who buy Halo 4 or Call of Duty, they also play that game for a year or longer.
Yeah. And by the way, Jason, if they've got different audiences, Ubisoft certainly don't seem to think so, because the multiplayer is a direct carbon copy of Call of Duty. So, you know.
Yeah. At this point, if I was them, and I'm not, I would just kind of hold it off until next year, but next year you have an even bigger problem because as of right now, the first 3 months, which will mean like the first 6 months of the year, are just jam-packed with new releases and huge titles, so...
But they probably could have gone with early January.
Maybe as of right now, I don't know what's in April, but yeah, then you're just kind of getting into this huge window where...
The problem with April is, for them, that's also the next fiscal year, and that's probably not something they want to...
Oh, that's true, but it's not like Far Cry is going to help much at this fiscal year.
Ubisoft have already got their big boost at the end of the year anyway with Assassin's Creed. So
they also have Splinter Cell next year. So, yeah. And
they're stepping on their own toes again.
And I assume they have whatever they get for the Wii U launch because usually launch boosts up sales because there's not much else to pick from.
Yeah.
So they have a decent fiscal year, so they can probably. Not have Far Cry out this year and do it next fiscal year to kind of balance the sheets, but we're not Ubisoft. They made their decisions. Oh, and they have Just Dance, which I assume has to make more money than Assassin's Creed at this point.
Just Dance is going to make more money than every other game they released this year combined.
And that pisses me off.
I
probably wouldn't go that far, but I imagine the return of interest on the Just Dance franchise has to be extremely high because those games can't cost a lot to make.
But still, let's just say to Ubisoft, don't be surprised when Far Cry 3 doesn't sell well.
Yes.
Or at least not to expectations.
The end of 2013, don't step on your own toes like you've done for the past 2 years, because it's getting a little ridiculous and you're going to start losing money eventually.
It always weirds me. Activision's really terrible with that as well. Because, like, Activision, for the last 2 or 3 years, they've had their big titles come out around Call of Duty. And it was also, they did it with GoldenEye, they did it with Redstone. Like, you have shooters in direct competition with your big shooter. Nobody else wants to go against it. And then they go and
close people like, I forget what the studio's name was, the studio that's responsible for Prototype. because
Radical Entertainment, then they
go and close whole studios because of it.
Which is a great segue, because that's what we're going to talk about, is Radical Entertainment closes down. And I believe they become something like the 110th developer closed down this gen.
Well, they're technically not closed.
Yet.
Yeah. At this point,
the official word is
they are severely cutting the staff, and Radical Entertainment will now work to support other Activision
games.
Basically, they will probably work on Call of Duty map packs.
Yeah. Radical Entertainment actually becomes, okay, unofficially the 10th studio that Activision has closed down this gen alone. I think somebody says they have 12 studios remaining, and of those 12,
six of them are
working on Call of Duty in some fashion. So
yeah.
I cannot wait for Call of Duty to go bust and for Activision to go, shit, we've now got six studios we've got to do something with.
It's not going to be that way. If and when Call of Duty bubble bursts, it's not going to be that we have six. It's going to be like that. Four of those studios will probably be asked out, because there's like no fallback. Like, even if they were to start production of a game, like nowadays that's 2 or 3 years. It's not something you can do with the turn of a dime. And the other six, two of those studios are working on Skylanders.
Yeah.
So it's not like they have a huge portfolio of studios and can diversify their lineup, which they really need to do. And I think one of those studios is actually working on a game for Nintendo, so I have no idea what's going on with Activision. But they make money, which is usually the most important thing in any industry. So they'll continue to go this route because it's working for them.
But for how long?
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, they're not just putting their eggs. They got their pancakes. They got the bacon. They have the milk and the orange juice. They're putting everything in this Call of Duty basket. They're gonna go hungry if it fails.
God damn it! Now I'm hungry.
And I mean, like I said, this isn't on our show notes, and because it's not really much to talk about yet. But Activision Blizzard is actually up for sale from their parent company. And they're seeking $8.1 billion for the studio.
What would make me laugh, and this is not going to happen, do you know what would make me laugh?
What?
If Valve bought Activision Blizzard.
I'd be okay with that. I think. No, I don't want
Call
Valve
of Duty
influencing Blizzard even more. No.
Call of Duty Black Ops 3, right, with the Valve logo on it. That'd be brilliant.
Well, I thought to say it would be sad if the first game that Valve runs to count to 3 or 4 is Call of Duty.
I don't really get why Vivendi wants to sell Activision Blizzard.
It's not making that much money for them, that's why.
It's not even that. It seems like it's more of a thing with the company itself and just trying to restructure. And I think that a boom of $8 billion would really kind of help in your other pursuits. The thing is, and I could be wrong, is that if Activision Blizzard is picked up, and it would probably be wiser to split the two companies off, but I don't think anybody can really purchase them. I mean, in as far as the gaming space goes, the only people who can actually afford it would be Nintendo, and that would make them broke for one purchase, which I don't see them doing. Microsoft, which I really don't see doing after the Rare purchase, and possibly Apple. And they don't really focus on software.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they do, but not games.
Not video games.
No.
Yeah. And I'm sure the Call of Duty fan base will migrate to the iPad right away, because nothing says do an analog shooter like the iPad.
But Microsoft buying them would be pretty funny. When Call of Duty would be a Microsoft exclusive.
It would be a Microsoft thing, wouldn't it? That would be scary.
But it wouldn't do anything for Microsoft's bottom line, because Call of Duty already sells remarkably well on their system.
That's true.
And it already, I mean, like, you might get some people from the PS3 and the PC to migrate, but at this point, you really, like, you're just probably going to move over to, like, Battlefield or Medal of Honor or some new first-person shooter that pops up.
Yeah, probably true.
So, and it looks like, again, like I said, I think Microsoft was burnt from the Rare purchase. because you spend half a billion dollars on that, and what has that given you in the past decade?
Oh yeah, but that's mismanagement. That is,
and I assume that's going to be the same thing because, like, as much as the Call of Duty brand is big, I don't really see Microsoft having 60 of their studios working on one game, and I don't see them doing it as a franchise anymore. And I think if you go by yearly or something like that, you might end up just kind of, you know, like, then people might start moving on to other games because you won't have that Call of Duty every Christmas to kind of latch on to. This, I think there's too much if they do buy it for them to be like, okay, this is worth that $8.1 billion. And even if they do, it would take them about an entire generation to recoup that cost.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see what happens to Activision Blizzard, though, if anything. Yeah.
Well, I think the options are, if they can't find, they buy it, they'll put it up on the market and people can piecemeal buy it. So you can buy various stocks into Activision, but at that point, I guess they'd become like an independent, not an independent developer at that point, but, you know, like they wouldn't have one boss.
Yeah.
Or maybe Bobby would just buy up stock to have a controlling interest so he can keep his company how he wants. But like I said, I think it would, if they do pursue it, I think spitting up Activision and Blizzard might make it easier. I think I could see somebody trying to buy Blizzard, somebody trying to buy Activision. I can't see.
Yeah, but Blizzard would just go fuck off.
Well, haven't they been owned for like the past 16, 17 years
so? Yeah, but part of what makes Blizzard Blizzard is Blizzard does what Blizzard wants. Otherwise, you don't get Blizzard.
Yeah, we shall see. And I mean, our last piece of news, if I'm missing something, is the Watchdog email problem.
Oh my god.
I just thought it would be funny to talk about because the irony
of a game that deals with hacking and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe this is like a
very smart viral marketing?
Yeah.
If I was them, I'd spin it that way for sure.
Oh, somebody's lost their job as a result of this marketing scheme, so good job. Nice one.
But yeah, that was, I mean, sometimes you have to end on a feel-good story, because it's really, it's perfectly lined up for Watch Dogs and what it is. But why are they starting viral marketing for a game that doesn't have a release date nor a home system?
Yeah.
That's a very good question. Well, I don't know. Some people just strange things when it comes to marketing.
Yeah, I don't mind viral marketing. I mean, it can get annoying at times, but I think it's cool other times. But the game is more than a year out at this point. They haven't announced it for any system other than PC. You know, they said it's worked on PS3 and 360, but, you know, most people assume it's a next-gen title. So we have, like, 18 months before this game is out. If you do viral marketing now, people are just going to be tired of it come the end of this year.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't get it at all. So, I mean, I think that's it for us this week. I guess anybody has any other pieces of news that I missed out on?
Oops.
Nope.
Any tantalizing tidbits or anything like that? So, I mean, it should... we can return to something we dropped off during E3, just because we had the segment with E3 predictions and stuff like that, and then we had the E3 recap. But question of the week. I forget if I asked this one before or not, but what is the rarest game you own?
The worst game?
Rarest.
Oh, rarest.
And do not answer with a rare title and try to be smart.
Fuck you! God, you ruin everything.
Let me look at my games.
The rarest title I own is what is Riz's worst title? Well, that's a hard one nowadays. I mean, out of this generation, I think the rarest game I own is probably Metroid Prime Trilogy. Just because Nintendo really made that.
That goes for a lot of money, that does.
Yeah. Of all time, I don't own it anymore, but I think it used to be rare back in the days. I owned, what is it, Suikoden 3 or something like that on the original PlayStation? Or two, I don't know. Well, it's one of those, like, JRPG romance sim type games, I don't know, with, like, a billion characters and all that other
nonsense.
Yeah,
Suikoden's awesome.
I never actually played it. My older brother used to try to get me into RPGs, so he once sent me a package with like Final Fantasy VII, VIII, Suikoden III, and like two other RPGs in it, and I'm not even sure what happened. I know I ended up breaking Final Fantasy VII. I was an angry kid.
I think somewhere I have a copy of Legend of Dragoon on PS1. I don't really own rare games other than that. I go for mass appeal games.
It's not even so much mass appeal, it's that sometimes you just kind of buy a game that ends up being... like another game that's really rare, and it's because of Nintendo's publishing habits, is Tetris DS.
I have a copy of Tetris DS, yeah.
For some reason, they put that out of print. I'm not really sure why. It was the best version of Tetris to me, and it had Nintendo themes to it, so that's win-win.
I suppose Legend of Dragoon's not really that rare anymore, considering you can buy it digitally on the PSN.
Well, yeah, I still think there is a difference between... because, digital does help out a lot of stuff, because I remember when I was growing up, one of my friends was obsessed with finding a Super Nintendo copy of Chrono Trigger and Super Mario RPG, because those are extremely rare disc-based games.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you can buy Chrono Trigger on with the PS... the PlayStation, you can buy it on the DS, you can buy it on the PSN, you can buy it on Virtual Console. So it's not rare, but I think the actual cartridge-based game is still something that people look to purchase and stuff like that.
Yeah, the funny thing was is I never actually really played Legend of Dragoon. It was, when you buy a PlayStation magazine back in the day and you'd have the demo disc and you'd play like one game on the demo disc again and again and again and again and again. That was Legend of Dragoon. And when I actually ended up getting around to actually owning a copy of the game, I never played it. So.
It happens. Has Martin and Chad figured out their games yet?
Well, for me, it's probably two titles. I don't know if they are worth that much, because you can probably get all of those titles digitally, I think. One is the 10 LucasArts Adventures thing I have. It's two CDs, original packaging, everything, and it has like Monkey Island 1 and 2, Zack McCracken, Loom, Indiana Jones Fate of Atlantis, Sam and Max, Indiana Jones Last Crusades, Indiana Jones Desktop Adventures, and Day of the Tentacle. So that thing, I think, is pretty
rare. Well, you
can't
get hold of Day of the Tentacle even digitally anymore unless you pirate it.
Oh, really? Okay, I guess, this thing is pretty rare, I think. And on eBay, it's going for pretty good prices. And the other thing is Full Throttle with the original packaging, in everything with manual, everything complete. I guess those are the rarest things I have.
Okay. And Mr. Chad?
I guess I don't really have anything that rare at all.
Which is kind of odd coming from you, who has the most obscure taste on this show.
I do. I guess probably Super Robot Taisen, OG Saga, Endless Frontier is probably kind of rare for the DS.
Try saying that one time fast.
I just did. Super Robot Taisen, OG Saga, Endless Frontier. Booyah.
Yeah.
Probably that or Trinity Universe for PS3 are like the rarest titles I have. And Trinity Universe is only rare because they only printed a few copies of it because they knew it was shit. And I didn't know it was shit when I bought it. So...
Would that have stopped you, though? Because you did buy in Marathon Sonic 2006.
I did.
And I'm never going to let you have that one down.
Oh, and at one point I actually owned Symphony of the Night, but...
So did I.
No longer.
I don't own any of my PS... PlayStation 1 titles. I don't own many old titles anymore. I'm sure there were rare N64... Well, I shouldn't say rare N64 games, because there weren't many N64 games. But yeah, okay. I mean, that will do it for us this week. Check us out next week, where we'll hopefully have more news. Hopefully nobody goes out of business this week. It's always sad when we have so many companies signed up for our best game that got you fired award 6 months into the year.
Yeah, they really want it this year.
It's a stiff competition. I don't even know which one has the best game yet, though. But yeah. So for Chad, Martin, Daniel, and myself, this has been Dual Wielding episode 74.
Ciao.
All right.